Okay, so today we're going to be talking about early years teens now and in the future. And where are we right now in early years?
We've been having a chat about this morning and just thinking, like, how do we feel? You know, a lot of settings are closed at the moment, and it's like, sort of, how are we going to open those again? If we open them, how do we keep safe as well? Because remembering that, sort of, we are, it's really, really important for us to put our safety first, isn't it?
Absolutely. And also, I think we were just talking earlier about nurseries and you know, new business plans moving forward, how we're going to do this. And we're trying to have those thoughts and make those big decisions whilst we're also managing our feelings about being in lockdown, potentially homeschooling, potentially caring for other people and ourselves. And I think actually to make those really big decisions whilst managing all that other aspect of our own emotions is a huge ask.
You don't have a lot of headspace, do you? It's like okay, where do you try and work that out? And you're trying to work out problems that actually you can't we've never had this problem before, have we? We've never been locked down. Normally we're so resourceful in early years that we can get our team together, we can see what we're doing, you know, we lead by distributed leadership, so we don't make all the decisions ourselves. And actually, because we're not so connected at the moment and we're a little bit isolated, we are having to make those decisions. And then we also, obviously, if we're looking at where we are now sort of with payments for early years as well, we've got to bring that into it. We've got to sort of have a discussion about the finances, because we know that before we went into lockdown, some settings were sort of struggling a bit with the funding as well, or quite a lot with the funding. And we all sort of went into lockdown, felt safe, and actually thought, yes, we're gonna have to have that clear head. We're gonna get 80% furlough, and we're gonna know what we're doing, and we're gonna move forward to open safely when we can open. But unfortunately, thrown into the mix of that is the fact that there is not enough funding for a lot of people, and we're sort of having a lot of people contact us, and there's discussions you know, around redundancies and settings closing, and it's like, we really need to think, where do we go from here?
Yeah, and I think that's massive, because that has a massive impact on people's lives. We're talking, you know, wages, livelihood, but also you have to be really, with what's gone on and the horrors that we've seen, it's being really sensible and not compromising safety for money. It's easy to say, you know, we all rely on our wages to pay our mortgages and our rent and feed our families, but what you don't want is, you don't want our colleagues in early years to be feeling pressure to open as lockdown is reduced, and thinking, well, if I don't, I'm not going to get paid, but then compromising their own safety, and then therefore the safety of the children they care for and the safety of their own families.
Yeah, so there is a lot to think about here, and this is why we decided to sort of start our podcast with these sort of discussions, because we just we've been going round and round in circles, haven't we, Beck, sort of thinking about this.
And we don't have the answers, do we? Because every setting is different, everyone's circumstances are different, but I suppose what we're hoping from having this conversation today is that to share with everybody that's listening that we're also going through those thought processes, and that I think with anything that's a big decision, big decisions don't come easily. That's why they're big decisions. So it's about how you work through those and making sure you have got a support network, reaching out to people in the profession, and sharing ideas or sharing concerns, because we always say, don't we, you cannot look after other people if you cannot look after yourself. You have to be able to, you know, keep yourself well and keep yourself safe before you can help others. So I think it's trying to create that community in early years and say, you know, we're all in this together. But yes, everybody's situation is different, but we are all in it together. And it's trying to sort of reach out and offer support, or just somebody, you know, we're here for people to offload to or raise their concerns, and we, you know, we're hoping to raise the profile, raise that voice of early years on a much greater stage.
Do you think as well, it's like, I think everybody has got to realise the way that every child is unique, that every adult is unique who works in a team in early years. So I think you've got to be, when we do team training, we always discuss this, and we say, you've got to be really, really upfront and honest with your team, because if you know that somebody is going to be more scared than somebody else, somebody might be quite gung-ho and think, do you know what, I'm just going in and I'm going to do this. You might need to sort of draw them back a little bit and say, okay, think of your safety. What do you need to do? Put all of these things in place, first of all. Get your team with you to draw up the, you know, the policy of what you're going to do when you go back.
I think
you've got to all have an input into that policy, because otherwise you're not going to all be able to sort of do it in practice properly without knowing what's going on. And some people will have, for their own reasons, have, you know, sort of more stringent plans in mind, and those probably need to be included as well. So again, you know, looking at the sizes of your setting and looking at how you're going to, it's going to be very different. I know with us, with our setting, everybody comes into our room normally, everybody's in there. You know, we have a really lovely community feel in the morning. Everybody stays, chats, which, you know, that's something that at the moment just really can't happen. So, you know.
And, you know, your setting, you know, it's attachment-led practice. So yeah. It's being able to maintain the ethos of that, isn't it? But actually the practical aspect at the moment is things might have to change. But the ethos can stay the same. You know, that's based in rooted in theory, it's well established in your setting, and you want to maintain that. But actually, for now, it's, I think we have to accept that it is going to be different. It might not stay different, but it will be different, and we have to be comfortable with that. But I think what you said about listening to every team member's voice is hugely important, and I think you're right, we're really good at doing that with our children. We really value their uniqueness and their differences, and we embrace that. But actually, we really need to show that level of understanding and kindness and listening to our staff. And actually, yeah. You know, we all come from different places, and the way that we practice and the way that we approach the world is based on our own experiences. So we will all be different. And, you know, it's using that, isn't it? And somebody in the team taking the lead, even though, you know, you share in the responsibilities, but somebody taking the lead to facilitate getting those voices heard and bringing them together. That's a big job.
And it is, and I think it's also not being afraid of change, because things will look very different for a while. And actually, we're all being really, really resilient now. We've, you know, early years hasn't had very much of a voice for a while, but that is growing. The one good thing from this is that early years voices are grown and they are being heard. So don't be afraid to use your voice and have your voice heard, especially sort of in your team and around everything that you're doing professionally. And if you can, like, just sort of, you know, make sure that you are embracing the change that you need to embrace, really, and just moving forward from there. So we would like to sort of wish you much fortune doing this. And if you wanted to contact us, you could contact us on rebecca@thrivinglanguage.co.uk. That's our email, or our website, which is www.thrivinglanguage.co.uk. And we're always here to help. So tune into our podcast, have a listen, and it's been lovely chatting to you.